We're going through the Gospel of Mark, and we came to chapter 12. That's where we left off the last time. And there's a parable right in the beginning of chapter 12 that reminded me so much of the reality that was just shared by these two great pastors, that they're facing death and they're in danger all the time. And yet the power of the living God is with them in such a mighty way. And God is definitely in charge and doing great and mighty things. And they're bringing forth fruit through their ministries to present to the Lord in a later date. And it is just amazing how God does these things. I'd like to share this parable with you that Jesus spoke, and then we would like to spend some prayer. Like we saw in the pictures, we're going to have the two pastors, Dr. Charles and Dr. Juventine, go to the middle of the church. We're going to stand up and move in and lay hands on them. And I would really appreciate if many of you would pray for them out loud, praying for them so we can agree together about these things that have been asked for prayer. Courage, love, protection. Many souls coming to Jesus, babies being saved, mothers being saved through the hospital ministries, and share in that ministry through prayer. Prayer is a very dynamic, awesome thing that God's given us to ask God for help for our brothers. And we want to go ahead and do that in a few minutes. So let's go ahead and take a look at chapter 12 of the Gospel of Mark. And Jesus speaks this parable about actually the scribes and the Pharisees, the religious rulers of the time that actually were partially responsible for his crucifixion, and how our brothers are facing people with that Antichrist spirit in their ministries over there in Uganda, that God has protected them from. And we will pray and trust God to continue to protect them and to build the great work that he's doing. But let's begin reading in chapter 12, verse 1. And he, that is Jesus, began to speak unto them by parables, stories that they could relate to. A certain man planted a vineyard and set a hedge about it. Now, a hedge is a fence, and in many times, as we learn from the Song of Solomon, this hedge was the henna plant, and it's kind of like a briary thorn type deal to protect the vineyard from animals and so forth that would want to come in and eat the fruit. And he digged a place for the wine vat. Now, the wine vat is like a vat or a holding tank underneath putting your feet on the grapes and squeezing them, and then that juice would come down into a vat. So this is the wine vat. And he built a tower. Now there were three purposes for the tower. The tower was a lookout, and the tower was also a place to keep seed and to keep supplies and tools. And the tower was also a resting place for the workers that worked in the grapevines. And he led it out to the husbandmen, or the grape growers, and he went into a far country. Now this is speaking of the Lord Jesus actually ordaining and blessing the Jewish faith, the nation of Israel, to bear fruit for him and to be a true witness for him. But the leadership of the religion had become bad through the years, and they actually became bad grape growers, and there wasn't any fruit. And at the season, he sent to the grape growers a servant that he might receive from the husbandmen of the fruit of the vineyard. And they were very selfish and wanted to keep any fruit to themselves instead of giving the fruit back to the Lord. And they caught him and beat him and sent him away empty. And so the Lord begins to talk about Old Testament prophets that God sent to the nation Israel. And you know, they began to hurt these guys and stone them. Goes on to say, and again he sent unto them another servant, and at him they cast stones, and they wounded him in the head and sent him away shamefully handled. And again he sent another, and him they killed, and many others, beating some and killing some. We begin to think of prophets like Isaiah that were sawn in half, and others that were shamefully used and despised. Having yet therefore one son, his well-beloved, our Lord Jesus Christ, then God sent his only begotten son to come and to minister and to try to help the folks and love them to himself. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes on him will not perish but have everlasting life. And so having therefore one son, his well-beloved, he sent him also last unto them, saying, they will reverence my son. But those grape growers or husbandmen said among themselves, this is the heir. Come, let us kill him, and the inheritance shall be ours. And they took him and killed him and cast him out of the vineyard. And of course, that is the cross of Jesus Christ, and how he was cast out of the vineyard. What shall therefore the Lord of the vineyard do? What is he going to do about that? He will come and destroy those grape growers and will give the vineyard unto others. And of course, in 70 AD, Titus of Rome destroyed Jerusalem. The nation of Israel began its downfall. By 73 AD, they were no longer a nation anymore. And have you not read the scriptures? The stone which the builders rejected is become the head of the corner. This was the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. This is an actual quote, these two verses from Psalm 118, and it is about the Messiah. It is about Jesus Christ, that actually he was the chief cornerstone of God's building. The Bible says that we're built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, the Old Testament and New Testament, Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone of that building. And so this is the stone that was rejected by those that God first called to be his people. Rejection and dismissal and death. But we know that our Lord Jesus, he got up from the dead, and he got up from the grave, and he inspires people and touches people by the power of his Holy Spirit to do what these men have done. They were called of Jesus to leave a life of luxury, because doctors and Kabbalah, as well as here in the United States, make very good money. But they were called to the least, the last, and the lost, to go out and reach out to people that despise Jesus Christ. Being like the Pharisees, Islam, the Muslims. I don't know if you remember, but down around the time of 9/11, 2001, they showed pictures on TV of the Al-Qaeda practicing their ideas of shooting, running through a building, and they had a cross on the wall and were actually shooting at the cross. It's the spirit of Antichrist. Oh, yeah. And so our brothers are called to a 95% area of Muslims. And no wonder they're asking for the prayer of courage. And we see here in the Bible that many servants have been martyred. And Dr. Charles was telling us that people were martyred before him that he knew in the area. what these brothers have encouraged themselves in the Lord, and they live really close to the edge, and they're asking for the prayer of courage from you, the church, to minister to them and to equip them to go. And oh, the Lord Jesus, the headstone of the corner, the basis of the foundation of the building of Christ goes with them, and that is evident. And I love this verse 11. This was the Lord's doing to send them. This was the Lord's doing, and is marvelous in our eyes that God has done such a great work to build hospitals and churches, and they are magnificent and beautiful, and so many children coming, so many people being born again, churches being birthed right in the midst of all this condemnation and ugliness and threat and all of these things that threaten Jesus. They killed Jesus, but actually it was the Lord that gave him for our sins. And he rose the third day, and he's alive today, and he's alive forevermore, and he is doing wonderful works in the valley of the shadow of death. We walk through the valley of the shadow of death, but we will fear no evil, for thou art with us, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort us. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow you all the days of your life, and you shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And so we pray, and we stand with our brothers, and they come back from year to year. Dr. Juventine has come back from year to year with more good news, more blessing. And I know that when Calvary Chapel Medigo was dedicated by Pastor Gary here, as when Sherry and I got to go with him to Medigo, and I don't know if that stone was the chief cornerstone. Was it? I don't know. Probably not. But it was a stone in the building. And the Lord Jesus, who is the head of the corner and the builder of that church, is alive and well, thank you very much. And it just doesn't matter what the devil wants to do. It just depends on what God allows. And God is the one that's in charge. And he beautifully ministers and does exactly what he wants, until it's our time to go home and be with him. So we do want to make a very serious effort tonight to encourage our brethren with much prayer before they go out and go back. And are you guys okay with standing up, or would you like chairs? Are you okay with standing for... Is that good? Yeah, let's just go to the middle of the church here, okay? If we can just walk up the aisle. And I'll turn off my microphone.